This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Is it a big deal that CJ Stroud is limited at Texans OTAs with a shoulder injury? We found out over the weekend that's the reason why CJ Stroud is not throwing during team drills. It's because he's got some kind of shoulder injury related to the pec, and it appears to be just a precaution. It's not something that the team feels is a big deal. They don't feel like this is something that's going to hamper him or keep him out for any kind of significant period of time. Hell, he might even be throwing by the time we see them out there again at some point this week, Seth. Certainly by the time we get to a more serious part of the offseason. So I asked the question.
So, and just to sum it all up for everybody that did, because a lot of this came on Friday and Saturday. CJ Stroud was out there, was warming up throwing on Wednesday, and then didn't participate in 7-on-7 or team drills Friday. Didn't look like he threw at all. And people were starting to get a little bit nervous. And then Aaron Wilson came out with a report that initially said it was a tight pec. And then he revised it to say it was a tightness in the shoulder and a shoulder region. But then on Saturday, the footage emerged of CJ shooting three-pointers at DreamCon at University of Houston. So the only information we've really gotten about it is from Aaron Wilson and then CJ Stroud just by virtue of shooting threes. Looked like, all right, well, if it was a serious shoulder issue, I don't think he'd be out there at a charity event or at an event doing shooting three-pointers.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that part, and for you, I saw you mention this on social media, that, okay, that quelled a little bit of concern, calmed a little bit of the nerves, but it's still
a good word.
It's still something that they're doing here, like keeping him limited, not having him participate fully, and it does mean something. Now, is it a big deal or no big deal, I think is the question for some folks on our text line and the people that have interacted with us on social media. There are mixed feelings about this because there's the idea of, hey, your quarterback should be out there when you're learning a new offense, when you're putting together a new offensive line, you got a new offensive coordinator. And then, damn it, he's just a quarterback, you know. And I've made the point that it's not like these are super strenuous workouts that you're asking them to do. You're just kind of piecing things together here. But CJ Stroud's not out there for the totality of it. Is this a deal or no big deal to you?
To me, it's a deal, just in that ideally you have the practices for a reason. And a lot of the OTA stuff, I mean, the skill position players are the guys who benefit from it the most because they can go closest to full speed and be competitive. But the quarterbacks in a new offense, it's an advantage to get as big and early a jump on it as possible to get everything grooved in, to get the reps and do all that. It's not the end of the world as long as it is just a minor shoulder issue. I was way more concerned about the fact that there might be a shoulder issue whatsoever, because then we don't know again, because both D'Amico and Nick Caley, when asked about it, refused to even talk about CJ specifically. You have no idea exactly what's going on with CJ Stroud. When they said, hey, all the players are on their own schedule and their own routines. Okay, typically if a quarterback is at OTAs and he's healthy, he's going to be throwing. There's no reason for him not to be, as you alluded to, because it's not risky for quarterbacks, especially with a brand new offensive coordinator. So yeah, my lizard brain started to really start to fear that, all right, well, this is different and he's not throwing. Clearly it's because of some kind of, most likely because of some kind of physical ailment, but they're not telling us anything about it. That's where I was most nervous about. The secondary one is, okay, well, all right, he has a shoulder injury. Now it just kind of sucks that he's not out there getting the reps, or shoulder tightness. It sucks that he's not out there getting the reps. Ideally, he would be, but it's not the end of the world. It's not like this is going to – there will always be setbacks along the way, and this is a pretty routine one as long as it's just a minor shoulder discomfort. I shouldn't say discomfort because of the Astros.
Stay away from the tightness. Discomfort. No, don't say nothing about discomfort or inflammation, Seth.
He's got grade 3 discomfort. Hey. Damn it.
Hey, if anything is discomforted or inflamed, I'm going to be super worried, just as an Astros residual.
Ma'am, I've got bad news. Your husband was hit by a bus going 70 miles per hour, and he's very, very uncomfortable. Yeah, that's it.
He's inflamed.
He's discomforted to the point where his heart is no longer beating, yes.
You mentioned Nick Caley and D'Amico Ryan's kind of, you know, poo-pooing this idea that something's wrong with C.J. Stroud, or at least minimizing it a little bit. This was Nick Caley on Friday when asked about C.J. Stroud not participating in the team drills.
Yeah, he's locked in every step of the way. No concerns whatsoever. I know D'Amico's already hit on this. Everybody's got a specific routine relative to their own routine, specific to whatever, you know, through whether it's football, whether it's athletic training, et cetera. And he's doing a great job, and he's out here, and he's working.
A routine specific to their own routine, specific to whatever, man. So, okay.
It's one of these things that, like, there's no reason. This is what bothers me. There's no reason to withhold information in a situation like this. People are going to speculate and assume the worst when, if it's something minor and you say, nope, nothing to see here. You cannot say nothing to see here without somebody wondering what there actually is to see there. And that part of it's frustrating and annoying, but the answer could have been, and yes, it would have generated headlines and whatever, but it, just like you do with spring training pitchers, like, you know what, no, he felt a little tightness, it's not an injury or anything, but we just want to be really careful at the onset, as it is in spring training with pitchers. You gotta be really careful when you're ramping things up that you don't overdo it and turn something that should be minor into something more exaggerated. That is what this feels like right now. It's just, okay, you're not going to mess around. There is absolutely no reason, as much as I'd love him to be getting the reps, there's zero reason that he should push through any kind of tightness in his shoulders to get those reps. So I think they're handling it the right way if this is indeed just tightness. It's just frustrating that I had to think about it for 72 hours.
Yeah, man. I think you said it right in that, look, it's if something is wrong with him, and clearly something is, then by all means, we want him to be managed properly. Like, the last thing we want is to force the issue or to overlook it or to minimize it and say, okay, well, you know, you'll be all right. Go ahead and go out there anyway. Like, I appreciate that if something is wrong with C.J. Stroud, they got the presence of mind and the sense enough to not have him going out there doing anything that he doesn't need to do, that he doesn't have to do. But at the same time, like, it's just a this is different.
Let me tell you, if my wife, let's say if I were on the verge of being fired again, and you know, my wife could tell something was wrong or something, and she said, hey, is everything all right at work? You seem kind of agitated when you come home. And I were like, well, you know, everybody has their own routines, and everybody does specifically what they're supposed to do at work, and that's pretty much the story with that. Oh, she would suspect the worst, I assure you that.
Yeah.
If I didn't give her any specifics at all, if instead I didn't just say, like, oh, no, yeah, it just turns out that, you know, Sean found out I've been stealing his Zevias or whatever those Those stupid drinks he drinks there. Yeah.
I'm so glad that he just, like, Sean just said I could have them because I was stealing them for a little while. And Sean's like, oh, it's okay. All right. It's all good. But this is the difference here with the Astros, and I mentioned this in the last segment, was the Astros have a perception and a reality problem. With this, it feels like the Texans don't have as much of a reality problem because, newsflash, they're not going to play this Sunday. They're not going to play any games anytime soon. And whatever's wrong with C.J. Stroud, they got time to fix it or for it to heal or whatever it is. It's not as much of a reality problem as much as them creating a perception problem by not just simply saying, you know what, shoulder's a little sore, we're going to give it some time to heal. He'll be throwing in no time.
Well, because when they're not giving you any information at all, and in lieu of them saying that, then you start to wonder, did he have surgery in the offseason? Is this – what's going on? What is – since they're not telling me anything, like, what else is going on here? And then with the Texans, where the perception and the reality feel a lot like Kyle Tucker or Yordan Alvarez was last year with Christian Harris, where I think the most likely scenario with Christian Harris last year was that they did think it was just a strain at the beginning, and then as these things sometimes – happen, it either had complications or just didn't get better on track with when they normally would, because they did try to have him practice later in training camp. Remember, he lasted like 1.5 periods. I remember Christian Harris got helped assisted off the field very early in that practice, so it's just kind of a mystery as to what was going on with him, and I don't know if they knew what was going on with him. And yeah. Then just like with the Astros, you start to wonder, like, all right, well, is this a one-off or whatever? It just you've got heightened awareness about some of the minor stuff when you've got recent history of a minor thing turning into a really big deal.
Yeah. So since we're talking about perception, do you think that him being out there shooting threes at DreamCon, like, does that help or hurt the perception? Because I'll be honest, I think you can make an argument either way. And for you, I think it helped because it, again, quelled some concerns that maybe he's not as injured as him not being out there might indicate. But also the other side of the perception is, well, damn, dog, you're out there shooting them threes. Look like you might be all right. Like, well, I don't know.
Oh, well, like, for me, there's some people that are saying, like, hey, if you're shooting threes, how come you're not throwing? I would say shooting a three is way – I don't think if he had a genuine injury that he would be out there shooting threes. But also, shooting threes is just way less taxing than throwing a football. Shooting a three is a natural motion, you know, where throwing a football or a baseball is, in some respects, when you try to throw it with velocity, that's a much tougher motion.
Yeah.
So I don't look at it like, oh, wow, how come he couldn't be throwing if he was shooting threes? It didn't even occur to me to look at it that way.
Shooting a three is more elbow and wrist. I know that for a fact. Yeah. It's more elbow and wrist than shoulder, but I bring the point up just as a perception thing. I feel like if I were C.J. Stroud or if I were in this position and I was the guy who was limited or not participating in team drills because of an injury or because I'm hurt or whatever the case may be, I feel like just in terms of perception, not reality, but in terms of perception, I might want to stay away from being on camera doing anything that might be considered or might conflict with the idea that I'm not out there or that I'm injured. Like, to me, it's more, I'm with you. They are completely different, but I don't think that that helps with perception one way or another, because it can be confusing. It can be a confusing message to watch.
I'd have to find out what his appearance fee was for that event because that might have added a little something to do with it too.
Yeah.
But you've got commitments, you don't want to let people down, whatever it might be. So CJ's handled just about everything correctly from a PR standpoint, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Have there been any really blips at all when it comes to CJ PR wise?
I
would go back to before the draft, and this is nothing big at all, but just before the draft, citing Deshaun Watson as one of his mentors or one of the guys. Like, that was one where I raised our eyebrows. He was just a kid coming out of college and, you know, all that.
They share an agent. Those guys, the Mulligetta guys, seem to be pretty connected. So I kind of even gave him a pass.
That was before he was a Texan. Yeah. That was before he was a Texan, too. I don't think you would have said that after he was a Texan.
Hey, honestly, Seth, I thought his worst PR moment was something that was not his fault at all and was kind of unfairly held against him, even though I understood where people were coming from. His worst PR moment, at least since he's been a Texan, was the way he cried when Tank Dell got injured, which I did not criticize him for, certainly not publicly. Even if I thought it in my head, I didn't think it was in good taste to be like, hey, man.
Here's what I didn't say out loud.
Hey, I wouldn't say that. I don't think you got to say everything you think. And look, maybe I was thinking, hey, CJ, y'all don't think you need to be crying like that. But also, I ain't in this position. Tank Dell ain't my boy the way he's CJ's boy. I was a little bit more sensitive to that, but I felt like that was his biggest PR nightmare because that was the moment where I saw people calling him soft and saying that that's not what a leader looks like and all that kind of stuff, which did surprise me a little bit.
That whole part of it, as far as people maybe either criticizing him or raising an eyebrow or whatever it might be, that's probably the most notable thing. I don't think he's said anything that I can remember of. I'm sure the text line will remind us if there was. There might be people that disagree with, you know, when he said things about prison reform or something like that, but that's
come on.
Like he was,
come on.
He wasn't, it's not like he was out, like he was, like every, the way he even framed, when he talks about prison reform or anything, he always does it in a way that, honestly, I feel like he's accepting and understanding that some people, when they first hear it, might have a knee-jerk reaction, and he tries to frame it in such a way, like he shows a lot of emotional intelligence in the way he brings it up, where he's trying to talk to people about it and not make it a contentious thing or anything. So I can't remember anything he said or just done off the field that would hint at any kind of, like, obviously future trouble with him or anything.
Well, I think once the Texans offense and even CJ to a degree, when they struggled a little bit last year, I do think people did a little bit of revisionist history with the podcast circuit from last
oh offseason. That's right.
That's probably okay. The big thing, he did too much talking and too much running around after his offensive rookie of the year season. People said
when he put himself in the power rankings for the quarterbacks, that was one where personally I didn't feel like it was a big deal. Like, but I also, if I were going to big bro him, my advice consistently is never ask a power ranking question on the spur of the moment, because those things go viral like crazy. The vast majority of time athletes are answering them basically off the top of their head. CJ looked like he might have had it already in his head, but those are kind of the things that, man, at the end of the day, it's not controversial or anything, but it's also buzz that doesn't need to be buzzed about. And you just as he gets older, you just start to live and learn what, you know, what's worth saying and what's not worth saying.
Oh, the 832 mentions the second game of the season last year after he big broed Caleb Williams. I didn't think anything of that. That turned out to be much more of a story than I was anticipating. Maybe because of Caleb Williams's reaction or facial expressions when it was happening. But I know he took some heat for that. I thought that was pretty surprising.
That was a lot of heat around the nation, not as much in Houston. It looked a lot worse with each ensuing week as the Texans' offense and CJ's stats weren't looking all that great.
Yeah.
But the big thing about that, that I wondered about was the way he framed it. He said he started off with, "Don't worry about all those mistakes you made." Like,
did say that. Oh, and also stop taking all them hits.
You
coming from the dude that's taken almost as many hits as him. Like, those two ended up being, if I'm not mistaken, the most
number one and two,
the most hit quarterbacks.
The most sack. Caleb Williams led the league, and CJ. Now CJ, to his credit, I guess, wasn't as responsible for his sacks as Caleb was. Like, CJ's were just hard-earned, I'm a victim here types of sacks, whereas Caleb extended plays and held onto the ball too long. But that didn't age nearly as well as I hoped it would have.
Yeah, we got a few people mentioning the Amber Rose moment. Like, that he just gave
a
woman a ride to a hotel. We definitely make way too much out of that.
Just like Eddie Murphy back in the day when he was just giving the ride. Or Hugh, what's his name there? Hugh Grant.
Yeah, why not?
Just giving somebody a ride, what? I'm just trying to be a nice guy.
Come on now. All right, so we've done a lot.
That one freaked me out a little bit just because we've got a history now in Houston with some of the You know, Jalen Green's with a woman who's much, much older than him, which is which can be really, really good in a lot of respects, but always, you know, I don't know. Like, is Ashton Kutcher, is it going to last with Demi Moore? I worry about their futures when there's that big of an age gap.
Yeah, and I guess Jalen Green, he had a decent regular season, but the way things ended, people might argue, hey, you know, like this isn't exactly the best reflection or whatever. Like, you know,
yeah,
people make a little bit more of it than they should, but it's definitely one of those things, especially when you're talking about a much, much, much older significant other. All right, so we've talked a lot about this C.J. Stroud injury, but not as much about what we're actually seeing from Texans OTAs. The rookies are getting a lot of attention, specifically the wide receivers from Iowa State. So I asked the question, what are your expectations of the Texans rookies going into this season? We'll do that next on Payne and Pendergast.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play, no purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino style games, offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore, from action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire. The fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
What are your expectations of the Texans rookies going into this season? Brandon Scott in for Sean Pendergast here with Seth Payne. And the Texans have a few rookies that I feel like fans can feel pretty excited about. Probably start with the wide receivers from Iowa State. I feel like they're the guys that have the chance to make the most immediate impact. But they also drafted a left tackle who we found out since the draft they coveted quite a bit. and made some serious moves to try to trade up and go get an Arianti Urcery out of Minnesota. So those are three guys that you can point at as, whether it's the short-term or long-term future, really exciting potential pieces to the overall Texans puzzle. And I didn't even mention the running back, Woody Marks, who also has a chance to make an immediate impact on this team. I'm going to throw this to you, Seth, because, and the thing that prompted this question is that, you know, the couple of days of OTAs that we've been able to observe, a couple of the guys that really stand out are the Iowa State wide receivers, Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noll. Higgins, because of his size and agility for his size, which, you know, is true to the scouting report. And then also true to the scouting report would be Jalen Noll's speed and ability to stretch the field, which I think is something that this Texans offense was sorely lacking going into the offseason. So what say you in terms of the expectation of the Texans rookies going into this rookie season?
To start off with the receivers, this has been exactly what I would have expected out of the first week of OTAs and no pads, is that minicamp, everything that happens in the spring, it really, really rewards speed and athleticism, but speed especially, because the physical element isn't there. So Jaden Higgins has done some good things, but Jalen Noll, everybody keeps saying, boy, man, it's amazing out there, just like how fast he is, how good he looks, all of that. That's where I always just say, beware the camp slot receiver, because this is what happens, whether it's Braxton Miller or anybody else back in the past. Yeah, when there's no pads on and when teams aren't game planning for you and defensive backs really don't have a beat on you yet and they haven't seen you a whole bunch, it looks really, really good in no pads. And sometimes it ends up paying off, and sometimes you're reminded, oh, okay, it's going to take a little while. It's going to take a little while. You know, Tank, that's why I still wondered with Tank Dell, not that he's not a slot receiver, but he's a small receiver. With Tank Dell, during training camp that year, he looked, we got into camp, and when the pads were on, those first couple weeks of the camp, he was on the ground a lot. Like, he was getting jammed hard at the line of scrimmage. He had to learn and adapt, and Tank Dell did a great job of it. Other guys, it takes more time. So I expected Jalen Noll to come out and look really athletic and really fast and be very impressive. With Jaden Higgins, he looks good too, but I'd say Jalen Noll has probably flashed more according to everything people have said. With Higgins, he's a catch radius guy. He's he's a big dude, plenty fast and all of that, but his size and his physicality is part of his game. And when you're out there and you're catching passes from decidedly non-ball placement specialist types of quarterbacks, then, you know, Keaton Slovis and Davis Mills don't quite have the same touch on a 50-50 ball as C.J. Stroud does. I think that you're probably not going to see as much of Jaden Higgins as you will Jalen Noll early on.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned the ball placement specialist part. That is another thing that you get in OTAs, mini camps, training camps, or maybe not as much in training camp because it starts to get a little bit more real. But Davis Mills looks good out there. So I'm so glad that we're not doing that thing anymore. Like, what's Davis Mills looking like out there, you know, with no pads and just running on air? Of course, he looks good in this situation.
Do you know what you really don't want? What's is that? Up in Cleveland, where they're getting blow-by-blow reports of the passing stats of each of their four quarterbacks now, because Deshaun's not practicing. But he right. might be ready by the season. Four quarterbacks, and you're getting Shedeur Sanders was the best quarterback today. He was 6 for 9 for 127 yards or whatever. Like, they're doing that up there,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
that's
don't
a miserable
want,
place to be.
I would not want to do the Shedeur Sanders, Dylan Gabriel, and Kenny Pickett competition thing.
And Joe Flacco.
And Joe Flacco is the one who I don't feel like needs to compete, right? Like, Joe Flacco has done the thing where he just kind of gets off the couch and goes and performs, and we know Joe Flacco's movies. Like, he would be the one that I'd feel – I don't know how I'd feel as a Browns fan of Joe Flacco. I got five quarterbacks, and Joe Flacco's the one that I feel best about, and two of them are rookies or young that I just drafted, and one I just signed. Man, that is quarterback hell. got to be 100%.
Yeah. I'm looking at ESPN Cleveland on Friday. Had a ranking of the Browns QBs at OTAs on Thursday. So it went, this base just on Thursday. It was, this is for all of OTAs. So for the whole week. They had it going Joe Flacco, then Shedeur Sanders, then Dylan Gabriel, then Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett, fourth. He would have been my favorite as the most likely starter in week one, but I don't know, Brandon, given the way that he's performed in these non-padded practices early in OTAs, it looks like Kenny Pickett's the low man on the totem pole.
There's another person with a perception and a reality problem, perhaps. Kenny Pickett, the perception is that he is behind the rookie quarterbacks that they just drafted, and it might also be the reality. Who knows?
Oh, on May 28th, Shedeur was 7-for-9 with 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
7-for-9?
7-for-9.
That's a hell of a
3 touchdowns. I think you ignored the headline there. 3 touchdowns.
Hey, that's a hell of a completion percentage, and then 3 of your 7 passes are touchdowns. This dude is efficient.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
QB1.
Yeah. I'm like on the edge of my seat trying to see what the Browns are going to do with their quarterback situation.
Ariante Ursary is the one that's really interesting to me, and I'm really excited to see him once the pads are on, because like there's a lot of reasons the Texans really liked him, and it's obvious when you look at him. He's a gigantic human being who can move really well. That's what you'd like in an offensive tackle.
Yeah.
But as we know, not so easy to play offensive tackle in the NFL. They've been shuffling guys around a lot. Ariante Ursary has been playing both left and right tackle. Here's Nick Cayley when asked about the O-line shuffling around so far during OTAs.
I don't think anything's going to be solved here in the next 2 weeks, okay? But it is obviously a progression. There's things in this time of the year with not having pads on. We can't hit gap double teams. We are not going to come off the ball and capture zone combinations as much. When you get into training camp, a lot of those things come to life, which obviously carries over into the play action game. Your play passes on early downs and passing off picks and stuff like that. So it's a little bit more of a controlled environment, but we're certainly going to build off everything we do and continue to build up until the time we report back here.
So the two big notable things that I don't want to read too much into how the offensive line is lining up during OTAs, when everything that Cayley just said right there, really the big message from that is, man, until the pads come on, you really can't tell a whole lot. But Jake Andrews, who came via the Patriots and who was coached by Cole Popovich, the offensive line coach at Troy, when he was in college, he's been taking a lot of reps with the ones at center. And the other big notable one is Titus Howard playing right guard. So, like, the rookies on the offensive line, I mean, it's Ariante Ursary is the big one right there. His competition with either Cam Robinson or Blake Fisher at right tackle, that's the spot where most likely if Ariante Ursary plays early in the season, I think it's going to be at right tackle. And then it's just a matter of, man, the guy played his whole career at left tackle in college. How well does he make that adjustment?
Do you feel like if Ariante Ursary is able to play his way into one of those spots, is that just as much of a commentary on someone else as it is Ariante Ursary? And what I mean is if he displaces Cam Robinson, is that a commentary on him? If he displaces Blake Fisher, to me it feels like it is, like, just as much as they like Ariante Ursary, if he's able to displace one of these guys that they've invested quite a bit in, either the $12 million that they invested in Cam Robinson or the second round pick that they invested in Blake Fisher last year, to me it is somewhat, and maybe I'm just being a negative Nancy, but it's somewhat of an indictment or at least a commentary on another player.
I don't know. I mean, if you draft a couple of offensive tackles and you draft both of them in the second round and one of them's going to start over the other one, then yeah, there you have it. I guess it's the commentary is, okay, this second round pick was better than that one. I don't think that, but again, it doesn't mean that Blake Fisher can't be a good pick as a second round offensive tackle, because at the very least, if you get, it's not like you're spending a top 10 pick on him. If you get him to be a guy that you feel good about as a swing tackle, and maybe eventually that you feel comfortable about as a starter, then that's still a good pick. So I don't think it's not an either or situation. I think ideally what would happen is that Cam Robinson's on a 1-year deal. Ideally, no matter who wins a competition to play right tackle this year, if you could go into next year and feel good about Ariante Ursary at left tackle and Blake Fisher at right tackle, then you're in a better spot as a team compared to when you were paying Titus Howard and Laremy Tunsil both a lot of money to play offensive tackle. You've got two guys on their rookie contracts there. So, yeah, I wouldn't read too much into it. It's if Blake Fisher loses his job to another guy or loses the competition to another guy who the Texans thought fit to draft in the second round, then that's what's going to happen. There's going to be competition. Some guys will win, some guys lose.
He's Seth Payne. I am Brandon Scott in for Sean Pendergast. And coming up next, I thought this weekend, as bad as the news with Yordan Alvarez was, and as up and down as that series was, I thought this weekend was actually the perfect encapsulation of why the Astros are still contenders this year. We'll talk about that next on Payne and Pendergast.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Look, the Astros have to pick it up at the plate. Like, they got to pick things up offensively. There's no way around it, no way to sugarcoat it. I don't feel like they can be this middling offense for the entire year, certainly not once the postseason arrives. I don't feel like they can afford to be the 15th, 16th, 19th best offense and expect to compete in ways that they have in previous years. I do suspect that they're going to get better at the plate. But the thing that happened over the weekend, Seth, or it was just sort of an example of why it is that you still have to take the Astros seriously. It's because at the top of that rotation, man, they got two guys. They've got two guys that can either dominate a game or even when they don't necessarily have their best stuff, can give you something that is a close enough facsimile to dominance, which – in the case of Hunter Brown, that was his situation yesterday. And in the case of Framber Valdez giving you a complete game shutout on Friday, I believe it was. So between those two performances, having ace-type pitchers at the top of your rotation, I feel like that is one of the ingredients that a true contender absolutely has to have or is an indicator of a true contender. So that gave me extreme confidence going up against a Tampa Bay Rays team that we saw when those guys weren't out there and when the bullpen, so to speak, was charged with trying to handle the Tampa Bay Rays lineup. We saw what that looked like. But when they put their guys out there, when they put their Framber Valdez and their Hunter Browns out there, they were able to dictate the pace of the game. And that was huge to me. It's one of the reasons why I still have confidence in this Astros team and this World Series window, despite them not being your uncle's Astros or your big brother's Astros anymore.
Well, and that's where that's the problem with this entire series, though, this last four-game series was, okay, yeah, if you've got a pitcher – I mean, Framber in some ways might need to be one of the members of this incredible relief staff, or at least until this stretch – of whatever. I don't know if Framber had only gone seven innings in this series, I don't know if they would have won that game, because whatever the Rays figured out about the Astros relievers, my God, we saw the worst version of multiple bullpen guys in this series. But Framber goes, pitches a complete game. Great. Cool. Don't even need to score that many runs to win that game. And then Hunter Brown was struggling to pitch the way he wanted to pitch and yet not allowing any runs and goes six innings. And then Brian King, who got shelled the other day, comes in. You get, okay, King, Abreu, Hader. Yes, nice. If we just get six innings out of our starter, that's great. But past the two aces, there's just so many question marks right now with your starting pitching. And I don't worry long-term about the bullpen. They've been incredible this year. That this was a really weird series for them. Lance McCullers, and whether he can continue to build and then more crucially stay healthy, yeah. And Spencer Arrighetti when he comes back, that changes the entire composition of this team. And those are, and I feel like the Arrighetti is probably a bigger if than I want it to feel like.
Yeah.
Because there's a part of me that says, all right, well, it's just a broken bone. And meanwhile, I'm sitting here and I'm watching Framber have a broken bone himself, and it's kind of a big deal right now. But I feel like
or Yordan. We keep
Yordan.
Doing this.
Sorry, I keep saying Framber.
Well, and you earlier said he threw a no hitter. I just now said he threw a complete game shutout. He definitely gave up a home run in that game. But y'all know what we're talking about, though. Y'all know the stories. Y'all know the vibes.
Check fact checking Payne and Pendergast in the morning.com and get cleared up on everything. This last series notwithstanding, the starting pitching is the thing that I'm most worried about, even though I feel really bad about the offense when it comes to being championship caliber. But I can envision a path where the pitching is so good with anchored by the bullpen especially, but that you can get to a point where you can lean on the pitching in total and have a championship caliber team, even if the offense never really gets up into being an elite offense. And that's why I should be more concerned about the offense and the bats, but I just feel like, man, it just still feels within reach with the pitchers.
Yeah, so I guess I am more concerned about the offense and the bats. And I said I suspect that they're going to get better. But with the pitching, the big concern is the health of it all. Like, if the top of your rotation is a healthy Framber Valdez, Hunter Brown, let's say Lance McCullers, and just throw one of the injured guys in the mix. Can we do that, Seth? Can we come away from this with like the optimism that at least one of these dudes whose elbow or arm or whatever is hanging by a thread, that at least one of them is going to be duct taped by the time they make it to the postseason? And whether it be Spencer Arrighetti or one of these dudes that we ain't seen since last year, Luis Garcia, Christian Javier, I don't know who the hell it's going to be, but you got two guys that you definitely can rely on, a Lance McCullers that feels like, but you don't necessarily feel like you can rely on him, but it's getting there. And then can I just get one of these other guys that's injured to be right? And I'll feel pretty damn good about at least the talent level that you've got in the rotation. It's just a matter of health and those guys remaining healthy.
They have enough guys that you could feel good about if you have to, you know, with a four-man rotation, the guys you mentioned, a four-man playoff rotation. You can feel good about that. And then if you have to piggyback, you feel like Gusto and Colton Gordon and guys like that can piggyback all over the place. And then as long as the relievers are performing the way that they've usually been performing, this last series notwithstanding, then yeah, I can feel good about that. The hard part about the broadcast yesterday was they showed Framber in the dugout with Luis Garcia on one side of him and Yordan on the other.
Oh God!
And I was just thinking in that moment, like, man, just with those two guys, if I could get those two guys out on this baseball field at some point,
yes,
then I'd feel a whole lot better about this team. But with Christian Javier and Luis Garcia, those guys both, they're in that bucket of I don't want to think about it. And if they come and they are healthy and they can perform, then it's a bonus. But I just can't count on them emotionally right now.
Yeah, they obviously need Yordan back. I think that's a non-negotiable. But again, one of those, like if it could just be Luis Garcia, a healthy Luis Garcia, that would completely change the dynamics. Here's what I don't want to happen. I don't want, and it's what I'm afraid of, I don't want this Astros offense to waste what you're getting from their pitching staff right now, even a hobbled pitching staff. And what I mean is Hunter Brown is giving you a Cy Young-worthy type of campaign this year. Framber Valdez has been excellent. It's likely your last year with Framber Valdez. Like, fortunately, you're going to be good enough to where – you're not going to sell Framber Valdez at the trade deadline. You're not going to trade him away at the trade deadline. You're going to keep him around. Fortunately, you're good enough for that. But you're too damn cheap to consider paying him, right? So that's not going to happen. This is, for all intents and purposes, Framber Valdez's last hurrah with the Houston Astros. And he's been really, really good. And then you get Hunter Brown emerging into the type of pitcher that you thought he could be. And the bullpen, as we mentioned, has been excellent. I don't want this offense to waste what the pitching staff is giving you on a nightly basis throughout the season, from the top of the rotation all the way down to the bullpen. This last series, notwithstanding, of course, with the bullpen. But it feels like with the pitching, even with the injuries, the stars are aligning for it to be good enough if the offense can hold up its end of the bargain, and that's the part that I'm worried about.
Yeah, that's if you look at where they are right now, and if they just give them if they're not even above average in runs scored.
They're mediocre all across the board. Pretty much every offensive stat, for the most part, they are mediocre. They are, right, like, in the middle of the pack.
They're mediocre, and it's a hard – this is new territory for us here these last couple of years where you're looking at the wild card standings instead of the – whether you're going to be the first or second seed in the playoffs and all of that. A few years now.
Yeah.
That – I look at how they are right now and what they could be with just a healthy Yordan, with I don't even want to bring Kyle Tucker into it, obviously, or an Alex Bregman, but a healthy Yordan Alvarez and a couple of those pitchers, things change a lot when it comes to how well do you withstand a 7-game series. Because they can ride some of these pitchers in a 7-game series. They can ride their bullpen in a 7-game series. But you just don't trust that they're going to consistently score enough to overcome some of the issues they have with their starting pitching. And that's, yeah, Lance, man, I told you, Luis Garcia and Christian Javier are in kind of one bucket where I just don't want to even think about it. And Lance, I almost feel like he's my, like, long-lost brother that did something like a crime against humanity. You just don't even want to, think about the possibilities or what might happen when it comes to whether or not he stays healthy. I can't sit here in good conscience and ask people to expect that Lance McCullers is going to be available and gunning it during the playoffs. And yet, it's a possibility.
Yeah, yeah. From the 832, I find this interesting. They say this whole segment is flawed. They're going to trade Valdez before the trade deadline. They're not going to pay him. And then a follow-up text from the same person, or at least from the same number. With all the talent they've let walk out the door, you cannot not trade Valdez and get something back for him. They got nothing for Bregman, nothing for Springer, and nothing for Correa. And I do want to point out that this person spelled Correa's name like Korea. I'm assuming that's text to talk or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I find that interesting because I would think that a team that's looking to win the World Series would keep all of the players that could help them.
No, Yeah, you're mistaking what they should do or what you think they should do with what they will do. And for the composition of this team right now, at the beginning of the season, I might have said, yeah, I mean, we did. We said, yeah, there's a chance Fromber could get traded at the trade deadline, depending on how things are. The Astros are going to be in contention. Last year, they went out and traded for a pitcher when people didn't think that they were, or at least this time last year, it was very much in doubt whether they were going to be buyers or sellers. By this time last year, yeah, no, it was still very much in doubt whether they'd be buyers or sellers at the trade deadline. As long as they're still hovering above 500 or they're leading the division or right there, I'd say there's no chance in hell this organization is going to change Framber Valdez with the state of the starting pitching right now. Whether you think they should or not, that's a whole other topic.
Sure.
But this team will not do that unless they get just some incredible deal with it and includes other major league pitchers.
And you'd be able to follow the rationale, because not just are they leading the division, but if you look across the baseball landscape, and especially the American League in particular, it's not like you've got world beaters. The landscape, the parity, if you will, the competition, there's probably, like, I would say about half of the league probably feels like they could at least go to the World Series right now. We're at that space. Now, maybe it's different by the time the trade deadline comes. I'm sure it will be different by the time the trade deadline comes. But we're in a spot right now where the Astros are among about 14, 15, 16 teams or so in Major League Baseball that absolutely have to feel like they've got a chance to make some noise in the postseason. So they're not trading Framber Valdez as long as they feel like they got a legitimate chance of winning. I don't think. He's Seth Payne. I'm Brandon Scott here for Sean Pendergast. And coming up next, let's hear Nick Caley talk about what this Texans offense is going to look like. That's next on Payne and Pendergast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.